Ich drück mal drauf, ne?
Okay.
Willst du nochmal deine Frage wiederholen?
Ich frage nochmal. Okay. Wait, with a third different
machine.
Okay, my question is, what do you see as the major achievements of oral history?
In the first step, I would like to answer in the direction of a comparison of the time before and after invention or reinvention of oral history. In former times, before oral history, we had, in a maximum, we had protocols of interviews or conversations with time witnesses or eyewitnesses. We talked about such critical or some systematical mistakes if the person who is doing the research is doing the protocols of an interview. Now we have different possibilities, yes, and that's not only a question of techniques. I think it's a question of using interviews for looking for the experience as a real important and effective part of history. I take a German example. After the Second World War, we have some written sources about the working of the attitudes or the socialization within the or during the time of National Socialism, working after the war. It is clear, Anna Bloch, that the attitudes and the our thinkings are changing slower than the historical circumstances. If there is a political systematical break, it doesn't mean that that same break is within the heads of the people of that time. That means, just in a democratic system, there are Nachwirkungen. What does it mean?
Effects or ramification or consequences?
Consequences for a society where the people have experiences from the time from before. Yes. How will you make research on this effective, on this working of the former times in the heads for the future, or for the second phase of history, or whatever? Yes. We have no sources about it. We have some literature, we have some diaries, we have some struggles in the media, but in that time nobody would like to say something about the positive about National Socialism. It was only insecure, heimlich, was hieß das nochmal?
Secretly.
Secretly. And now we have, for our future, for instance, we have a lot of sources for historians of the future who can use all these interviews we have done about our time, about the thinking in our time, about National Socialism, about the GDR, about the German Federal Republic after the war, and so on. Yeah? About the students' movements, whatever. We have a lot of interviews about this time. And that gives the future generation of historians the possibility to make research on the effects of consciousness in history and of experience, former experience in history. Yeah? And these sources we made for this future is a big difference to our situation, where we didn't have such sources from former times, or only very, very few. Besides that, in Sweden, for instance, it was a little bit different.
Mm.
Yeah, there were made a lot of interviews and written sources about that what the people are thinking about the time of industrialization and so on. But in our society, not. And that means, that may mean, that we find out something terrible. The people are more conservative than the conditions in which they are living. Perhaps we find a lot of things where the people are much more democratic as we thought about them. Yeah, I think, for instance, if you take the question of education of women, we can see now that after the war, a lot of mothers were keen to give their daughters a better education than they had.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew, because of the bad time of the war and the time before, that it's better for the daughters to have an own education, an own profession, even if they are not convinced of a new family role of them, of mothers, future mothers of their daughters. Yes, mm-hmm. But they knew if it's better to have a good education. Yeah. That's one of these positive, in my opinion, positive effects of a bad time for a better future.
Mm.
We have, on the other side, a lot of hinweise and a lot of
hints
that National Socialist thinking was working after the war.
Mm.
But on the other hand, we have a lot of hints for a more pacifist thinking of soldiers during the war. Or we have hints that the people were, after the war, erschreckt.
Shocked.
Shocked about the knowledge about the Holocaust, yes. I think they were not shocked when they knew something about the terrible treatments of Jews or Gypsies, but when they heard the real extent of murdering, yeah, it was shocking for some of them, at least some of them. Perhaps others tried to suppress this remembrance or this knowledge, but others didn't. On the other hand, I think that there were a lot of parents who were different, built up the democracy, and said, "We did it, not you," to me as a student movement's member. Mm. "We made the new democracy in Western Germany. And we have the experience what it means to live under a dictatorship, not you." Yes, and therefore, perhaps even if they tried to exculpate themselves,
mm.
And perhaps tried to suppress some remembrances, they tried to educate us in a way of being aware of dictatorship, being aware of war danger. Though they say for themselves, we couldn't do anything, we had to do all these things you are criticizing now. That's a dog for... Yeah, I think it's better.
So, dann gehen wir hier drauf, unser Schiff.
It's more ambivalent again. On the one hand, we have a lot of hints for the effects of National Socialism after the time of National Socialism, And on the other side, we have a lot of hints a lot of attitudes which are against dictatorship, national socialism, war, and so on. It's not a question of moral. It's a question of looking on history as a more universal, in a more universal sense, which doesn't expel the personal experience out of history. Mm. Mm. And if the more the distant is growing to the past, the less you can find people. You can find people's life circumstances. What do we know about the fourth, about the Viertelstand, the poor people before the French Revolution? Mm. Now we have a lot of sources about the life conditions of poor people in Germany or wherever. Mm. Therefore, I think our history helps us to have a more differentiated view on history, mm-hmm. where the people's experience are integrated, and where the experience of people as a effective part of historical elements is present, is known, and that's much more, I think, than we can say for historians, for historical work in the times before. Mm-hmm. I'm not very hopeful that we know more about these democratic attitudes, the possibilities of people to influence the historical development. Sometimes we hear more about opportunism, affirmation, and person.
Yeah.
All the things which show the people more passive. But we understand a lot of things better than before. Mm. And that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps not so much as I hoped when we started,
mm.
but it's a lot.
Mm. And, historians don't like to predict or look into the future, but what would you think where oral history is going, or what would you hope and wish for oral history to be going, in what directions in Germany and in general?
Now, in general, that it's a normal part of historical work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first point. It's a normal instrument. It's one method besides others to understand history, and that means that oral history has one task in documentation. We talked during this interview about the possibilities to take interviews from interviewees who are much younger than normal, in our normal interviewees are. If our history is more used, then perhaps we have possibilities enough to ask people who are younger, who came from our generation or your generation, to see the changes within this generation, with the knowledge of your own experience in this generation, and so on. Mm. Therefore, it's the second part. What I want to say is, we have perhaps the task better in, or we have better conditions in the future to make interviews earlier than within the oldest groups of our time witnesses. My hope is that we have an imagination of a universal history or historiography where the experience of man is seen as the working of personalities of people, of groups of people, perhaps of organizations of people, where you are not only talking about the organizations but about the people with their own interests. And at least I hope that we can find more about that, what in Germany is called Eigensinn. It's an expression, a very specific German expression, I think.
Sense of self?
Would you translate it in that way?
I mean, it's a word with different meanings, I guess.
Yes, Eigensinn means, on the one hand, the people have their own consciousness and their own aims, and they perhaps are not congruent, and mostly they are not congruent with the political aims of a specific elite or of a party or something like that. And I think, for instance, the GDR, nobody of us would have said 1990 that the GDR, the new federal countries, will be a blühende Landschaft, a blooming landscape after some years. Because we knew that there is an Eigensinn of the people who are looking for their own biography, who are thinking about their lost parts of their biography, who are full of Vorurteile,
prejudice
against the Western parts, about the Western Germans, and that there is a new form of identity against the Western Germans. All this happened, yeah, and it was not seen by the politicians. Mm. The people have their own mind. And this Eigensinn, this own mind, sometimes only trots. I have my own sense against the mainstream.
Yeah? Okay, in spite, it was spite.
Spites?
In spite?
In spite of, trots. Nee, I do not mean the pronoun, I mean the subject, trots, der trots.
Spite.
The spite.
Spite.
It's true, yeah. Or if you look on generations, you can see there are always very specific ways of thinking against the former generation or the former elites, and you have big difficulties to explain it. If you wouldn't have the source of the oral interviews or the experienced history. And I think that's a very difficult point, because this Eigensinn is not in a moral sense always positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it's own. And we have to look for the effects of this own mind, this Eigensinn.
Mm.
As a form of explanation for an historical development. Ernst Bloch had a wonderful sentence about all that, what is not developed future in us, we know that there are parts of our consciousness we do not like, or which is not that what is accepted. And the new political system, for instance, disturbs our plans of our future, the plans for our future, and therefore it is not always accepted by the people, even if it follows a dictatorship. And what's left in the heads of all these thinkings, all this is a task for oral history to find out and to see what it means for a development after, for instance, such systematical breaks. Mm. And I think we have a chance to for better explanations of history.
Mm.
It's not much, but it's for historians a lot.
Mm. And finally, what are your personal plans for the future? Cool. You've already said that you're retired, but you're not inactive. You're working on a whole bunch of projects.
No, I'm working in some projects on oppositions in the GDR of Dresden bombings, and now of Dresden during the big change 1989 to 90. I'm working in a Gypsy project about the present educational standards and the history of that. I make films. Some films just now about forced labor during the Second World War. But I hope that I can stop this work, not in a very near future, because I think or sometimes I have the feeling that my view on the development of history is not only to describe by analysis. And I hope sometimes perhaps it can be done better by literature. A novel, for instance, about different persons in these last 60, 70 years, mostly in Germany, East and West, during as well in National Socialist times as in GDR times, as in Western Republic times. I'm not sure if it is possible to bring all these in a universe of personal experience within the big politics, but perhaps it is another form, and perhaps a form which is more read by the people as our normal, our work is read by normal people. Yes, that's one possibility. But I think I'm now 67, and I'm living in a situation where I seem to be younger because I have young children. My wife is younger than me. I'm getting older alone because a lot of my experience getting older I have to make alone because they have not this situation like me. And sometimes I hope that we have together, my wife and me, the children, we have the possibility to communicate about these different experiences in different ages. We try to do it just now, but I think it's very, very difficult for younger people to see the problems of older people. On the other hand, it's perhaps easier to understand the problems of young people because you have this experience in your generation, in your age. Perhaps it's totally different from the experience my children have. But to communicate about these differences is very, very rich.
Mm.
Yeah. But difficult. But very difficult. And I think for my wife it's the main problem that when the development is going like the statistics show us, she will live 25 years without me.
Mm.
Yeah, 25 years. It's like my ancestors which are lying here on the cemetery.
The family cemetery, yeah.
Yes, the family cemetery where we have a lot of women who were widows for a long, long time. And they lived alone in this sense. And I think some of these questions you can't really change. Yes, but you can get a consciousness about it. Most of the men are dying in their family background. The women not.
Mm.
Most of the women are dying in Pflegeheim.
In care homes.
Care homes. Care homes. And I would like to know something more about these differences of the last ages. That's one of my questions.
Huh.
But I tell it to you because it's good for a final sequence of an interview with the former oral historian. But mainly I'm angry about the Sterblichkeit, about the... was heißt Sterblichkeit?
Mortality.
Mortality of our species. Because all of us, I think, are very curious, otherwise you wouldn't be an oral historian.
Mm-hmm.
Curious, it's the right word, no? Neugierig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And therefore the dead is a big break in this form of knowing something about the future.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah. I can say some optimistic as well. My hope on the other side as a professional is more to have a balance between forgetting and remembering. It's nothing new when I say sometimes forgetting is very helpful, and we are doing the best to hinder forgetting. And for oral historians, it's very difficult to decide what's better, to leave it in forgetting.
Mm.
Just if you are working with persons who perhaps are living better when they are forgetting. Perhaps they were traumatized and it's not so good for them to ask them too much about that. Perhaps on the other side, perpetrators try to forget, or us to forget them. And I think in every society it's very difficult to find a balance between forgetting and remembering, just because there are different interests. Yeah. It's clear who never was traumatized perhaps has no interest or no feeling of forgetting, that people want to forget something. But that's not to learn, I think, or not to teach. It's to only to learn by making this experience.
Okay.
And I do not know how it's for you. You are living in Canada. You are not so much confronted, I think, with the German history. I feel sometimes now that there is a bigger preparation, bigger acceptance to look for the ambiguities in history,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and not black and white. And that's perhaps a real wish. When I started with oral history, the main results were we have a big variety between perpetrators and resistance, yeah? A lot of colors in between. Now we have a time where a black and white schema is blooming, it's growing, or was growing. But sometimes I have the feeling it's changing again, because there were a lot of humanity crimes.
Crimes against humanity.
Against humanity in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the knowledge about crimes, war crimes in the old society.
Mm.
And it's always not so bad to know that it's not only a specific national character who is the precondition for such crimes, but it's a form of having a society where the danger of breaking of the very, very small firmness, the very small civilized thinking, moral working laws, Rechtsstaatlichkeit, constitutional rights,
mm-hmm.
And how fast such small Firmness, I do not know the word. Also so ein zivilisatorischer Firmness, weißt du, der so eine Gesellschaft einigermaßen von den Brutalitäten, die möglich sind, abhält.
Mm.
Yeah. And
like a shield.
Yes, perhaps. If we are aware that's always a real danger in every society, and that we have to learn that we have to defend this small shield we have against brutalities and so on. And perhaps we can learn these. I think we cannot learn much from history, but we can perhaps learn how big the dangers are for such civilizatorian breaks, Zivilisationsbrüche.
Civilization breaks, I would say.
Yeah, perhaps. Yes, that's a wish for the future.
Mm.
Okay, aber jetzt ist genug.
Well, thank you very much for the interview.